cares on him. Freely his life blood he sacrificed, paying the debt of my sin. Come to the cross upon Calvary. Gaze on the scene anew. Turn from your sin to the Savior. There Jesus waits for you. Kneel at the throne of your risen Lord. Death now has lost its sting. Thanks be to God for the victory. Hail to your conquering King. Come to the cross upon Calvary. Gaze on the scene anew. Turn from your sin to the Savior. There Jesus waits for you. Turn from your sin to the Savior. There Jesus waits for you.
That song before. Good song, amen. That's good words to it. Good beat and good words, amen.
Amen.
Dr. Harold Seitler says it's all important. I believe it is. Amen. Why should we have questionable things when there's so many good things we don't have to question? Amen. And the way of music and everything else. Turn to 1 Corinthians, if you will, please. 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 31. We spoke in the Sunday school hour about the glory. The glory hath departed. And we said that the reason that Phinehas' son was called by his mother, when she expired and died, by the way, she died at the birth of Ichabod. She said she named him Ichabod. The glory hath departed. So many of the names of the Jews had El, like Daniel, which had reference El as to God. Not so with Ichabod. The glory, she said, hath departed because the ark of God was taken. We want to finish out and see how we can get the glory back.
Amen.
It's one thing to lose the glory of God, and it's another thing to get it back. And we need to realize that there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But thank God there's a way of life as well, and Jesus is that way. Could we stand as we read this one verse of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 10:31 as our text for the message, how to get the glory back. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and only the one verse, verse 31, as we read together in unison. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, could we read together? Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Let's read it two other times, please, together. Whether, therefore, ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. One more time. Whether, therefore, ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Our Father, we thank Thee for the eternal Word of God. We pray Thy blessing on it, our Father. We thank Thee that we can Lord, though we sin, and we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, though we've sinned, we can get the glory back that's lost because of sin and evil. And I pray your blessing now. Help thy people to understand what they can grasp, Father, from the Scriptures. And I pray that those that are without Christ would see their need of Him this morning, to see that the answer is in the blood. The answer is in faith, in Christ alone, and it's not by works. I pray that they'd see that this morning. And Father, that we must go the Bible way. We must get back to the Bible if we're going to have the blessing and the glory of God. Have your way now, and we'll thank Thee in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Scriptures, as we covered this morning, going back, and we're going to try to cover it briefly to get us back up to where we are here. Samuel had a dream. He was asked of God by his mother. And he had a dream, and in the dream, God said, you're going to, in one day, Eli, because he did not restrict his two adulterous sons who committed adultery with the people who were bringing the sacrifices to God, the two priests, the two sons of Eli, because Eli did not restrict his sons, even after he knew of their adultery and their wickedness, that I'm going to kill them in one day. They're going to be killed in one day. This will be a sign. Then you remember Samuel came to Eli after the dream, and Eli said, what was the dream? Tell me every bit about it, unless something evil comes upon you. And Samuel told him all the dream, and he even told him how that because Eli had not restrained his sons, that the two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were going to die in one day because of their evil and their father not restricting them. And Samuel told Eli everything. And Eli said, that's right, that's the word of God. Let it be so. Eli knew God, didn't he? But his sons did not know God. It tells us over in the Scriptures in Samuel, 1 Samuel, look at that there with me, that his sons were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Now we looked and saw how Samuel didn't know the Lord. And by the way, he didn't know him and didn't know the Word of God until he got saved. Amen. And Samuel was asked of God. Samuel was a blessed, a promised baby by God to Hannah. And yet so it is with the sons of Belial. Chapter 2 of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 12, it says, now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. Here in the same verse it says, they were sons of Eli the high priest, but sons of Belial. Sons of the devil. Here's the reason. They knew not the Lord. They knew not the Lord. Why is a child, a person, a son of the devil in the Old Testament or in the New Testament or in any Testament time? They knew not the Lord. Why do people go to hell? Because they knew not the Lord. Amen. People don't go to hell because of any other reason except not believing on the Lord Jesus Christ to salvation.
Amen.
People say, well, they go to, we're all condemned already. It tells us in John chapter 3, verse 18. We're condemned already because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God.
That's right.
And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all born in a sinful nature. We need to be born again of the Spirit of God. Except a man be born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God, Jesus said.
Amen.
He can't even see it, no less get to it.
That's right.
You can't see even heaven. You can't see anything spiritual. But we were teaching on Wednesday night, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You only know spiritual things when you know the spiritual one,
Amen.
The Lord Jesus
right.
Christ.
That's
you say, well, what about the Jews? Can't they get to heaven just by knowing God? You can't know God until you know Jesus.
That's right. Amen.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'll tell you, the way to heaven is Jesus.
Amen.
And you cannot picture and know God until you know his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You can bypass Calvary, then you bypass the plan of God. You cannot do that.
That's right. That's right.
Jesus had to shed his blood. Jesus had to die. Why? Because we were lost in
That's
sin.
Right.
The world needed a bloody sacrifice.
That's right.
God requires blood. And it was the blood of his Son, the sinless blood of Christ that atoned for sin, for their sins. Here, Eli's sons were right in the high priest. They were even in the priesthood themselves. the sons of the high priest, and they died and went to hell. So many people die and go to hell right under the preaching of the Word of God. Right in the presence of a godly father or a godly mother. Why? Because they know not the Lord.
Amen.
They know not the Lord. You say, well, they just do a lot of things wrong, but they're saved. I don't know about that. I tell you what, when I got saved, I wanted to God just cleaned me up, and He put a new want to in me. You say, well, he goes out and gets drunk every weekend and hangs with the crowd, but he's saved. I don't know about that.
Amen.
By their fruits ye shall know them. Amen. God's children like to live like God.
Amen.
The devil's children like to live like the devil.
Right.
I really believe God's children want to go to church.
Amen.
I wanted to go to church even before I got saved. Boy, when I got saved, I wanted to live at church. I wanted to just move in. Why? Because Jesus moved into my heart. Boy, holiness. See, when Christ comes in, holiness comes in, and righteousness comes in, and glory comes in. You know why the glory departed and the ark was taken? Eli and Phinehas, they knew that. They learned that from their daddy, Eli, you know. Hophni and Phinehas said, we'll get the ark of God down here. The Philistines are defeating us. And when we get the ark of God, God will save us. The ark will save us. There was only problem. One problem. Sin had become exceedingly sinful. And God says, enough of this. I'm going to let the ark even be taken by the heathen Philistines. It won't bless them.
Amen.
Remember when the Philistines took the ark and they had all these emrods and all types of troubles, and they said, oh, we got to get rid of this thing and send it back. This is a problem to us.
Amen.
I'll tell you, the presence of God is a problem to sinners.
Amen. That's right.
And the ark was the picture of the presence of God. The presence of God. You remember with the Egyptians as they were coming through, you remember, and Pharaoh went into the water, into the dry ground there, the Red Sea, and the Israelites were there. And what? The same presence of God was a shining light and a blessing to Israel, but God frowned on those Egyptians.
Right.
And their wheels started coming off of their chariots, and they got bogged down in the muck and the mire, and God just sent the whole Red Sea on them and just destroyed all of them.
That's right.
Pharaoh and the whole army.
Amen.
Well, the same presence of God is a blessing to us, but it's a curse to the wicked. And to wickedness, and God won't hear sin. Sinners' prayers, if they're full of sin and don't want to forsake those sins. God will bless those that forsake. And by the way, this ark was taken, and then we have a picture after this that David wants to bring the ark back. David wants to bring the ark back. Now here's where we start. 2 Samuel 6:1. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 6. He desires to bring the ark back to the place of blessing, to the house of David, to Jerusalem, where it ought to be. Get it away from the Philistines, and let's get it back to where it ought to be. He determines to bring the ark in. He has good intentions, but there was a problem. He forgot the Word of God. And we're always in trouble when we forget the Word of God. And you know, the problem with a sinner, the lost man, he doesn't even know the Word of God to begin with. He has nothing to forget. He doesn't even heard the Word.
Amen.
And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Amen.
But there's a danger for Christians lest we forget the Word.
Amen.
Forget the Word of God. And this is what happened with David. Look at him, chapter 6, 2 Samuel. It says here again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000, and David arose up and went. Now look with me. It says, went with all the people that were from Baal of Judah to bring up thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, that dwelleth between the cherubims, and they set the ark upon a new cart. Now this is new cart religion. God had told them earlier, you're to put the ark on the shoulders of the high priest, and they are to carry the ark by their on their shoulders with these staves through this little box called the ark. And in the ark was the manna, was the rod of Aaron that budded, and was the tablets, the Word of God. I'll tell you, the answer is the Word of God. God's presence is in His Word. And I'll tell you what, here they wanted to bring it up, bring the ark of God back. But they forgot the Word of God. It's strange that they all forgot the Word of God. If you turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 1, 1 Chronicles 13, 1, it says they all with one accord forgot the Word of God. They all forgot the Word of God, not just David. Shame on, there should have been someone. There should have been one leader. There should have been somebody to speak up and said, Hey, let's get this thing done right. This is not right. We need some preachers to stand up and some Christians in the midst of your work over there at Fort Hood and say, listen, this is evil and God's not pleased with this. I'm tired of this cursing. I'm tired of you taking the name of God in vain. Amen. When it's right in the uniform code of military justice that this cursing's wrong.
Amen?
That's right. Someone needs to speak up and out for God. Now, I'm not listening to that garbage music. If you really don't want to do something, I'll tell you what. I'm talking about in you're obeying all the other orders. Amen. But our eyes are too precious to behold. My boy Steve was down there, the Air Force, and his superior had this filthy picture up there behind his thing. You know, these calendars and all this junk. Well, Steve went and took it down. Well, he shouldn't have done that. Well, he shouldn't have put it up. Amen. He about got in trouble over it. He said, I'm not looking at that, sir. I'm not looking at that all weekend. Amen. Now, there's a time. You ought to obey orders in every way, shape, and form. You know how I believe around here. Either regulars, but I'll tell you what, there's a place that comes, amen. How bad can they get? Amen. No, you don't have to allow some girl in your barracks, fellas, in your room. You can squeal, squawk, and holler and scream and make it not so. Amen. Well, I believe we better stand up. Nobody did. Look at nobody did here. Chapter 13. Are you in your place? I'm in Chronicles 13. It says in David, this is the synoptic, we could say, that which is the same as over there in First Samuel. Look what it says here, 2 Samuel, pardon me. It says right here in 1 Chronicles 13, and David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And it says, and David said unto all the congregation, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto all our brethren everywhere that are left in the land of Israel, and with them which are the priests and the Levites, which are in the cities and suburbs and so forth of them. In verse 3, and let us bring again the ark of God, of our God to us. And they go on about it. They all agreed. And somebody should have been disagreeable about the way they did it. Now what they were doing the right thing in the wrong way. You can even do good, but do it in the wrong way. And it's not pleased. It's never right to do wrong to get a chance to do more right. That's situation ethics. No, it's always right to do right and wrong to do wrong.
Amen.
And they were doing the right thing, bringing the ark where it ought to be, but they were doing it the wrong way. They were carrying it on the... They learned that, by the way, from the Philistines, the new cart. You remember how the Philistines had sent the ark back to them on a new cart? See, we learn a lot from the heathens, don't we, if we're not careful?
That's right.
The church learns a lot from the heathens. We don't need Christian rock music. We need Christian music. By the way, Christian rock is a misnomer. It's a falsification. It's like grape nuts, neither grapes nor nuts. That's about what it is. Christian rock. But the rock stay where it goes, amen. We're going to have Christian music. And it ought not to have to be questionable music. Came to old Dr. Bob Jones Sr., his wife, and said, I don't know. And he held his shirt up to his wife. She said, He said, honey, should I wear it? I got to preach tonight. Is it clean or not? She said, if it's doubtful, it's dirty. Put it in the wash. It's doubtful, it's dirty. For God's more holy than we are.
Amen.
If he puts about doubt in our mind about something being right, it's probably wrong. Most likely something wrong with it, amen? Because we're not as holy as God is.
Amen.
Even Moses in his greatness and glory never saw the face of God. He saw the back part of God, and when he came off the mount, after 40 days, they had to put a veil over him, for the power and Shekinah glory of God was on him. But he didn't even see God face to face. We will one day, thank God.
Amen.
In our glorified body, in our immortal body, we'll be able to see God and live. We couldn't. None of us could see God and live. Now we'd all die. We'd perish. He's too holy. Our God's a flaming fire. No man hath seen God and lived, the Bible said.
That's right.
His glory. You say, well, they saw Jesus. Yes, Jesus was God, but is God and was God and forever shall be God. But he was veiled with a robe of flesh so people could see him. But in God's essence, in God's holiness and glory, you couldn't see him and live. You'd die. Well, this all displeased a lot of people. Displeased David. All of a sudden, here's what happened. The ark is coming in. Can you see the ark coming in? And it says that David's dancing before the ark. Dancing in the spirit, by the way, not with some female. Amen. Dancing all alone. Say, I don't know what that is. Been a long time, Brother Hill, but when I was just a young guy like you, I'd go out in the backyard, take a walk, and I'd get in the spirit. I'd get all excited about God and God all over me. I'll tell you what, I'd just shout and holler and dance all over the place. Amen. I was excited. You get almost 50, you don't have much zip left. Amen. I'll tell you what, this was in the spirit. Only it was just God Almighty. There were others around, but he was dancing in the spirit. He was filled with the spirit. And the music was playing. God ordained music. How these Christian, these, what do they call them? The Christian church don't believe in musical instruments because they can't find them in the New Testament. Well, God gave them to David in the Old Testament. There's going to be a trumpet in the New Testament, amen. The trump shall sound, amen. If the angels can play trumpets, we can play them too, hallelujah.
Amen.
David played the harp for Saul. You know, God hasn't changed a bit.
That's right.
As long as they're played for God, the instruments, it's fine. The instruments are playing and you hear this music. Why, they're bringing the ark of God, the picture of the presence of God, back from the heathen Philistines, which was a curse to them. And they're bringing it back into the city of Jerusalem, back toward the city of Jerusalem. And all of a sudden, but they're bringing it what? On the new cart now, the first time. They're bringing it on the new cart. They're doing God's will, the way of the devil. And as they come in with a new cart, I believe by this way, this new cart, it probably had gold, probably silver and gold wheels and everything that you could imagine. This was a new cart. It was made for God, amen, but it wasn't the pleasing way to do it.
That's right.
We've got a lot of fanfare and a lot of shine and a lot of gleam, and it better be according to this word or God's not pleased with it.
Amen.
And all of a sudden, one of the men who the cart starts, see, God knew that the cart wasn't supposed to be carried that way. And that men could carry it on their shoulders better than on some cart. It might get jerked off of there. And the cart started going like this. And one of the priests, one of the fellows there, he reached up to grab it, Uzzah. And God just smote him dead. Bam. Knocked him dead.
That's right.
Right in the middle of the music. Right in the middle of the dance of David. Right in the middle of praising God for bringing the presence of God back into the place that God wanted it to be. And all of a sudden, as we've said in other times when we preached on this, but a different message, I believe in essence God said, maybe this is where we get this little statement so much, stop the music! And it said, David feared the Lord that day.
Amen.
The dancing stopped. Look at chapter Samuel, 2 Samuel 6:8. 2 Samuel 6:8. Listen, it really doesn't matter what pleases the people unless it pleases God.
Amen.
We got too many people pleasers anyhow. We need to please God and everything. Boy, if God's pleased, everything's okay. Amen? Because we're going to have to meet God one day. You're not going to stand before... Listen, you may stand before a superior officer here, and you ought to obey your officer. I'm not saying it. But you're not going to stand before them one day in judgment. You're going to stand before God. You better be more fearful and more reverent and more obedient to your Heavenly Father than you are your superior over here at Fort Hood, or you're going to wish you did one day. You ladies, I hope you honor your husband, even though he's not all he ought to be. I hope you honor your husband, even if he's not saved, because it's biblical. But I tell you, ladies, if you're the most submissive and obedient wife in the world, I sure hope you honor and fear and reverence God more than you do your husband.
Amen.
We're going to meet him one day. Now do both, amen. You children, I hope you children obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But I tell you what, you're going to stand before God one day. You better obey God. You better think about God. And you ought to obey your parents because God told you to, and you fear God. And it's right. You're going to do what pleases God. Look what happened. This is what happens when sin enters in. It says in chapter number 6 of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 6, verse 8, and David was displeased. This is right when Uzzah got killed. It says in verse number, let's go back up in verse 5. Verse 5, and we'll read down just so you get the whole picture and let the Word of God do the work. It says here in verse 5, "And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and all and on psalteries and on timbrels and or cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to this certain place, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died before the ark of God." And look what happened. Because of sin comes death. And then what happens? "And David was displeased." Not only the displeasure of David, but the displeasure of God. And then what happens? It says, and he feared the Lord. It says here, "And David was afraid." Look at verse number 9. "And David was afraid of the Lord that day." Fear comes from disobedience and disregard for God's word and doing God's things the wrong way. Fear comes. I thought the Lord brings peace to people. He does, and the devil. And doing things wrong brings fear and all kinds of problems. And it says here, "And David was filled with questions." Look at the last part of verse 9. And here's what David said. He was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How shall the ark of God come to me?" Sin brings all kinds of questions. Obedience brings affirmity and verity and truth. And assurance comes when we obey God and obey His word. By the way, David's plans were altered. And plans get altered when we get into sin. And so he waits a while, and the ark goes over to the house of Obed-Edom. And David, I believe David does what it says over in 2 Chronicles. Look with me just a moment. You're familiar with this, I'm sure. Chapter 7, 2 Chronicles 7. I believe this is what David did, and this is what we need to do to get the presence of God back. We obey the Bible, amen?
Amen.
We better get back to the Bible and find out if the cart should come on. I think David checked up everything, and God showed him in the Bible through the men and others and said, "Listen, we can't take the ark any further." And he started searching around, and they said, "You know what? God did say we should bring the ark in on the shoulders and not on this cart." And isn't it strange that Uzzah reached up and touched the cart, and that's when he got killed? Must have something to do with the cart. Amen? Let's get rid of this cart. Let's go back to the Bible. It's kind of an old-fashioned way to bring it on their shoulders, but we better go back to the old-fashioned way. Amen? Say, well, that's old-fashioned. God's, there's a little song, God is old-fashioned, His way is old-fashioned, God's salvation's old-fashioned, amen? The Bible's old-fashioned.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We'll go the old-fashioned way, amen? If it gets us to heaven, we'll go the old-fashioned way.
Amen.
All this newfangled, new cart religion will get you to hell. That's what it'll do for you.
Right.
It'll get you dead. It'll cause trouble in your life. Look, this is the answer. Chapter 7, verse 14 of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. "If my people," I believe David did this, "which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." Well, how do we get saved? We get saved by going the right way. Doesn't the devil try to pervert everything? The Lord willing, we'll have a baptism next Sunday. But I'll tell you what, God's way is to be baptized, but there's a right way and a wrong way. There's sprinkling, and that's not biblical.
Amen.
You can fix it up, and you can dress it up, and search the Bible all you want. But I think it was Adoniram Judson, the first Baptist missionary, and he was a sprinkler and a pourer before he got over on the field, but he read the Bible on the way over, and when he got over there, he became a Baptist and resigned, I think, from the mission he was put under because he said, "I believe the Bible teaches that we ought to immerse people."
Amen.
The Bible way is immersion after salvation. We're to immerse believers. We're not to baptize any unbelievers.
That's right.
Knowing. That we're not to do that. Knowing. No, we're to do it the Bible way. And then when should we do it? We ought to do it right away. Amen?
Amen.
Humble ourselves and pray. Jesus said, "He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Salvation is the gift of God. Would you receive Jesus today? When you receive Jesus into your heart by faith, you're receiving the gift of God. Well, there's people on the radio and writing periodicals and say that salvation is in the waters of baptism. That's a lie.
Amen.
Amen.
See, there's the right way and the wrong way. It's right to be baptized, but it's not right to be baptized for salvation. You get baptized because you are saved. And it's an act of obedience. Reading the Bible doesn't save you, but the Word in there will. Amen. If you'll put faith in it. But you can read the Bible, and unless you have personal faith, the Bible won't save you. In fact, it'll condemn you because you didn't believe it. Amen?
Amen.
Faith in the Word, but you've got to have faith.
That's right.
You could even believe every word that this Bible is. Your mom and daddy taught you that, and grandma taught you that. The Bible is the Word of God, and if you don't have it exercised in your heart and believe on it for your own personal self, you can't be saved.
Amen.
You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. It says, but as many as received Him. Have you received Him? Jesus. To them gave He power, the right, the authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And some people say, that's not enough. You've got to be baptized. Well, the thief on the cross sure went to hell then, didn't he? No, he went to heaven. Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And he never got baptized.
That's right.
Oh, but he got baptized in the Spirit. He just didn't get baptized in the water.
That's right.
And all you have to do to get into heaven is get baptized in the Spirit. That's being saved.
Amen.
It's being born again. You get that. Now, you should follow the Lord's baptism afterwards. But it does not save you. It's a picture of what Jesus did for us. Well, have you received Him? Have you believed on Him?
Amen.
I'll tell you what happened. They changed their mind. They said, I'll tell you what. By the way, if you don't have a change of mind, you won't get saved.
That's right.
David had a change of mind and a change of heart, and he said, I'll tell you what, we're going to put it on the shoulders of the priest.
And he said,
we're going to do it the right way. And I've been hearing that God, David heard that God was blessing the house of Obed-Edom where the ark detoured. God bless, the presence of God will bless those that know God.
Amen.
The ark was the picture of the presence of God.
Amen.
Oh, and he said, God's blessing them. We'll just do it the right way this time. It'll be okay. Boy, they put it on the shoulders of the priest, the Ark of the Covenant. And as they came in, boy, David danced with all his might before the Ark, and the music started again, amen. And the parade started up again, amen. Oh, and the parade was all right this time. They got all the way to Jerusalem, all the way to the place that God intended for it to be to begin with. But they did the right thing the right way the second time. You say, well, I tried to be saved before. Why don't you just do it the Bible way? He said, well, I prayed a prayer, but I didn't understand anything. Well, why don't you pray and ask God to help you understand this time?
Amen.
Amen?
Right.
Nothing wrong with the presence of God. He's still there. See, some people are a little bit more submissive than me. I was bullheaded. Man, I had to hear the gospel so many times. One lady said, I didn't think Jack Hart would ever get saved. He was so stubborn, arguing about everything. And she said, look at him now. He's about more zealous than any of us. Amen. God save you. Amen. Some of us are a little more bullheaded. Some people, they just hear the word and they want to get saved and they mean it with all their heart and they get saved just like that.
Amen.
And don't try to figure God out. He's too big for you.
Amen.
That's
right. Amen.
Say, some people say, well, I want to get saved like my grandma did. And she just shouted and hollered and felt something. And if you get saved, just go the Bible way. You'll feel something.
Amen.
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 You'll feel something. But she might shout and you might weep or cry. I don't know what. But you'll be different. You just follow the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
It's the Word that saves us. You say, I'm looking for a certain feeling. Why don't you just look for the faith in Christ? Amen? Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Some people die and go to hell looking for a feeling. No, you believe. And God will make you feel like He wants you to feel. I wept like a baby when I got saved. All the way back to my cabin there at 16 years old. I threw a little firebrand, a little stick in the fire as an evidence. They said, all you that received Christ this week, come down to the fire, campfire at the bottom of the hill here. And as they were around there, they all gave a little testimony, and I just wept like a baby. And they said, take the stick and throw it in the fire as an evidence you've been saved, and it's all settled. And I threw it in there. Then they said, go back to your cabin and don't talk to anybody. Just talk to God. And I did. And oh, I tell you, I felt so different. And I knew I was changed.
Amen.
God changed me. Oh, thank God. It was through the preaching of the Word I got saved. I don't know who preached that night, but God preached to me up in that little shabby tabernacle up there. God saved my soul. I put faith in the blood. I quit trusting Jack and started trusting Jesus.
Amen.
Said, Lord, save me. I'm gone. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I can't help myself. I can't save myself. Do something. Save me. They said you would. Would you please do it for me? And he did it. He did it.
That's right.
And it wasn't by anything I did. It's by what he did. And I trusted what he did. And he did it. He saved me. Amen. Have you trusted him? But as many as received him, have you received him? I hope you will today if you haven't. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for your grace, goodness, and glory. God forbid that the glory would depart. It'll only depart because of sin. I pray, Father, you'd speak to those that need Jesus and show them that Jesus is the answer. He shed his blood for them. He hung there on the cross and was spit upon and mistreated and buffeted. Nailed to that cross, crown of thorns upon his brow. His blood was shed, spear in his side, and it was for us that we might be saved by faith in his work and by faith in his blood. Touch hearts now. Show them their need. Show them that their only hope is Jesus. It's not the church, it's Jesus. It's not baptism, it's Jesus. It's not good works, it's Jesus. Help them, Lord, to see that and be saved today.